Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Praise God. It's good to worship the Lord, isn't it? Praise God. Man. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Dear Heavenly Father, as I share the word with them, Father, I hope it has the same impact the worship service gave us. And so, Father, I'm just counting on your spirit to just drive home an important point, especially of the times that we're living in. And so, Father, may you guide my lips, and may you guide their ears. And between the both, we can have a connection in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, we started out last Sunday talking about that the hour that we're living in requires a leading of the Spirit more than any other time. Matter of fact, Paul the Apostle was instructing Timothy about the last times, and he said, perilous times shall come. And that word for perilous times means dangerous, treacherous times. And then he goes in and tells Timothy about the type of people that would be in the church in those end times. Well, I got to thinking, you know, 1 Timothy, it has a chapter also talking about where Paul was instructing Timothy how to set a church up, how to select leadership, and so forth and so on. And he talked about that there's a time that's going to come where there will be every wind of doctrine, and there will be those who put their sails out to catch it. And so he was instructing Timothy how to set a church up correctly, have good leadership, good doctrine, and that establishes a church. How many of you enjoy the church when you're here? You know, a lot of people don't enjoy their church when they go to it. Do you know that I couldn't go on very long if I didn't gather with the church and had participation, like with praise and worship this morning? You know, that edifies you. That charges you up. You're in amongst believers. I don't know how some people can stay away from church. Some people can miss it days on end. Boy, if I miss church one Sunday, it affected me. Does it affect you? Amen. I hope so. Oh, yeah. Well, I might as well start talking about first love rather than being led of the Spirit. But literally, I have to have it on a weekly basis. I have to be amongst believers. I have to have a chance to praise and worship with them and to give with them. Yeah. It's all a part of our spiritual growth. And it's important to us. Amen? And so, as Paul was instructing Timothy in 1 Timothy how to set a church up, and he talked about in a church there are vessels unto honor and vessels unto dishonor. And he goes and talks about being careful that you don't catch every wind of doctrine that you hear come down the pike, because doctrine is actually what becomes a part of us and what we believe. But when you get to 2 Timothy, Timothy was crying out and saying, Paul, what am I going to do? The church has gone bonkers. He began to have a lot of problems in the church. And you know, I don't care what family is brought into the earth. What family does not incur problems? Do you guys got the perfect family where you never have any problems? If you do, we're going to sit and watch you on video and learn something. Every home, every church has problems. But how you solve those problems is great. But he did come down to the fact that he says perilous times, kalpros, which literally means treacherous, dangerous times. If you heard about that shooting in San Bernardino, and they started interviewing a lot of people what they thought about them, and you know what came out of their mouths? Probably you guys heard it on the news too. I feel unsettled. I'm fearing. You know, it creates a fear within society. Well, you know, that's the devil. You know, he wants you to make you think. One lady said, gee, I don't know whether I can even go grocery shopping anymore without fearing for my life. You know, that's not God. You know, and you and I as believers, in spite of all that's going on around us, how many of you are still going to live life? I mean, we got to live. We got to live life. Well, how are we supposed to live it? In fear? No. But I do believe that we as believers, we have an advantage over someone else who is not born again. Our advantage is we can have a direct leading of the Spirit of God. Thank God for that. Amen. So when you get into Romans chapter 8 here, he starts off with the first quite a few verses here. He talks about the preoccupation of that which is flesh and the preoccupation of that which is spiritual. He said that the preoccupation of flesh or the mind of the flesh, he says it brings deaths. But the preoccupation of the mind of the spirit brings life and peace. Now, what people don't understand about Romans chapter 8, the entire chapter, is very profound on the subject of being led by the Spirit of God. And yet, no one really capitalizes on that fact. Because I think a lot of times, traditionally speaking, we have a thought in us concerning the concepts of the Bible. And one of them is life. And so a lot of us think we have eternal life. And that word for eternal life is Zoe. It means the life of our Heavenly Father. It's in us. But another term for life, what we don't think much about, is the word Zeo, not Zoe, but Zeo. And this word literally means how you spend your existence while you're on planet Earth. And so one represents the life of God, and the other represents the life that you maintain while you're here. How many understand that? And so a lot of us, we don't think that the Bible's speaking of how we spend our life here. We always think, spiritually speaking, we always think that when we get saved, we are now going to eternal life. And so the Bible doesn't really reflect in our thinking that it does have something to say about what we're doing while we're existing here on planet Earth. Are you understanding me? It's one thing to get the understanding of what it means to be a spiritual being, but it's another thing to understand the practical side of our existence as a human, that we also have the issues in the Bible about how we spend our existence while we're here on planet Earth. Amen. And one is just as important as the other. But when you get into Romans 8, it's very interesting. What mind are you preoccupied with? He says if you're always preoccupied with the mind that is natural, He's saying very clearly, he says, that produces death. How do you think these people who idolize and worship dead people, what kind of life that you would expect to get out of them but death? You know, just like this gal, you know, her idol was this guy that's ahead of ISIS. And so she planned their own deaths by not only taking their own lives, but everybody else with them. See, that's what you call the mind of the flesh, which contains the sin nature of our arch enemy, Satan. And see, and the nature that you and I have received when we get born again is called the love of God. His nature has been imparted into our spirit. And that's where we grow. We grow spiritually. But these people, what they do is they're so preoccupied with that which is natural, all as they can produce is death. Now, wouldn't it be interesting to know that if their minds were preoccupied by the Spirit of God And they got so consumed by it that they went to the center and they got 14 people born again. How many of you follow what I'm saying? Man, we went and created mass salvation. See, that's what you would get out of the fact that you're preoccupied with the mind of God, which is His nature, Spirit. You know, the love of God has nothing to do with the flesh. The love of God has everything to do with your spirit. But the effect of the love of God in your spirit has everything to do with the fruit of the flesh. Are you following what I'm saying? And so we are living in a dangerous time. We are living in the end times. And yes, life is uncertain. But life can be very certain for those of us who are born from above. And wouldn't you think that would be more advantageous to our Heavenly Father to make sure that there is a provision made for us to protect us, especially in the last of the last days? Because of it being more treacherous? Now I'm going to share something with you. As I've said before, that John and I have been studying the book of Revelation. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm just overwhelmed at a lot of the new stuff that I'm learning and I'm catching. You have to really pay attention to that book. And I catch little things every once in a while. And when the first half of tribulation begins, there's a witness before the throne of God, before the seals are broken. And I shared this with you last Sunday, that the creatures called Ezekiel's wheels are mentioned in chapter 5. Mm-hmm. They're there present before the throne of God. But someone else is there present before the throne of God. And it is the witness of the seven spirits of God. And both of them are symbolic of the Old Testament and the New Testament leading of the Spirit of God. In other words, in the Old Testament, they had a way to be led by the Spirit of God. It's a little different than our leading now. But New Testament also has a way of being led by the Spirit of God. The Old Testament believers, they understood the leading of the Spirit of God more through the natural man, because God manifested Himself in the Old Testament to get their direct attention and leading. But in the New Testament, faith does not speak that wise. It does not say, I will ascend into heaven. That is to bring Christ down from above. But what saith that the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart? Yeah. Actually, it begins in your heart and ends up in your mouth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, it's worded there. It confuses us. But with that thought in mind, let's say, for an example, you decided to get up and go to the store. And all of a sudden, you get this gnawing on the inside of you not to do that. Matter of fact, that just happened to Lindsay and Tabitha. They both bore witness that they shouldn't do what they were going to do, but you did it later. Yeah, and they felt the freedom to do so. They didn't feel a word, but they did the first time. Now, we don't know what would have happened, but they obeyed it, and they're here, and they're fine. Well, you sure look good, Tabitha. You didn't look like you ran into a car. But we make poo-poo or light of that thing. But how do you know if you didn't have that inward uneasiness? Isn't that what you kind of felt, an uneasiness? The minute Lindsay told you, you probably bore with it right away, because she said you bore with it right away because you had that uneasy feeling as well. And so we take light of that. But did you know something? I'm going to tell you something right now. Did you know that you don't have to make sure that you hang on until you're matured to follow a leading of the Spirit? Right. You know, Kenneth Hagin had a teaching in how to be led by the Spirit, and it was very good. He said, when you're a new convert, you have extra grace with God. Not only that, but you have a little capsule over you. And then you do things more by accident that are Spirit-led than what you realize. Because God treats you just as He would His own children, because you are His. Now it says we've been adopted, but actually the word adoption is not a good word. In the Greek, it always is worded this way. You are son-placed. The placing of a son. Well, the reason the translators picked up the word adoption, because that's how the world thinks of adoption. It's placing a son or a daughter in your life. But really, the original meaning of that means you become a son and placed in the household. Isn't that beautiful? So whether you realize it or not, you are sons and daughters in the household of God. You've been placed there. Now, what father, when a newborn child is brought into the world, at first, that little baby is taken care of by the parents because it has no way of taking care of itself. And so that's the same way God looks at you as being brought into the kingdom of God. You're just like that little baby. And He has His supernatural eye on you. He says, I've even assigned an angel to them new converts. Because He talked about the little children. He said, for their angels always are before the face of my Father. And so you'll find new converts that are so susceptible to not being led by the Spirit. God has a way of seeing to it that there is a leading He gives them, kind of supernaturally. God even knows your heart even before you get saved. If you're a potential for His kingdom, that there's a supernatural protection that He'll give somebody. And you know what He said? I think it's due to my parents' prayers.
Amen.
Yep.
Yep.
You know, a lot of times we see our own relatives and we draw this conclusion, nothing can be done for them. You know, you ought to keep your mouth shut. Remove that from your thinking and say, my prayers can be doing something for them. Just like He felt. And so a lot of times, whether you realize it or not, when you're first converted and you don't understand the leading of the Spirit and you're not matured into it, then I got good news for you. You guys ready for some good news?
Amen.
God's got you covered. And He's got somebody praying for you. And He's got somebody in the background you can't see that is praying a prayer that will work on your behalf until you come to that place where you can carry yourself on your own. But what happens if you grow up and stay stupid? Do you know what that means? To grow up and stay stupid? And I said, Lord, I don't want to grow up and stay stupid. I want to grow up. And He says, really, the more you develop and the more you grow, the easier it should be for you to follow the leading of the Spirit.
Amen.
Now, we were talking about this in John's car the other day. And one of the people in the car said they finally got what I said. They said they heard it and finally hit him. A walk of the Spirit is different than the leading of the Spirit.
Yes.
Did you guys know that? Being led by the Spirit of God is more personal. There's where God will interact with men, especially when they're babies. He'll interact, because if you're brought into the kingdom, the first thing that a natural father would do, having their children growing up in the home, wouldn't it be natural for you to see where your children can get off course and that you would try and correct and discipline and get them back on course? Isn't that a natural thing for a father's love, is to make sure that their children know where to live and grow up? And, you know, so the father interjects and helps us in that area. So you don't necessarily have to be some genius, scripturally speaking, to understand the leading of the Spirit. God can give you a leading of the Spirit right from the day you're brought into the kingdom of God. Because he has ways of having his eye on you. See, and a lot of times, because we live such an individual life, and if you live a pattern of an individual lifestyle, how much further do you feel from God than you really are? He's there. You know, and a lot of us don't think that because we don't have interaction with him. You know, we get complacent and lethargic and we move away from, but he's always there. Did you know that? You know, Psalms 139, you got to read that. That's a testimony of David about how God was always with him. And David's lifestyle never confused God. He says, even when I'm confused and in darkness, he's my light. You know. And that's the way God is for every one of us, especially today. How many of you are born of God?
Amen.
Then you can say, I'm truly a son of my Father.
Yep.
You can. And so he's with you. You might not feel like it. Well, you know why you don't feel like it? Because being led by the Spirit of God has nothing to do with feelings.
Right.
It has everything to do with God's concern for you as an eternal creature. Good news. Good news. That is the grace of God on your life. But you do get to a place where you have to grow up. And then things don't come as easy. It seems like every time you turn around, you're making a mistake. That's why a lot of people, when they try to believe that the leading of God is the same when they're babies, and then they start to grow a little, and they wonder why that grace still isn't there. Because God says, okay, it's time. Boy or girl, it's time to go on your own. You know, did you know that I heard this, I don't know how true it is, I heard that this generation has been an extreme detriment to a lot of families because the children are not leaving home. They're adults, but they live off of their parents. And it's becoming more and more of a problem. And, you know, with that kind of spirit that's working in the world, did you know that it should not shock you, the homeless that's springing up?
Right.
You know, when you think about it and you talk to a lot of these people, their thinking is not right. And a lot of them know God. A lot of them have been in the presence of God at one time and abandoned it. But you see, God's intentions for you as his son or daughter is to grow up.
Yes.
And take responsibility and to do the right thing. Amen. But in order for you to do it, you have to have your mind set on spiritual things. You can't have it set on natural things and expect spiritual results. Now, in the book of Revelations in chapter 5, chapter 4. When I was praying in the Spirit, God is now, as I'm reading it and praying in the Spirit, and John, he's helping me, and he's reading all the material he can get a hold of as well as me, But I've noticed that a lot of the end time teaching, I'm amazed at how many of the students or the scholars don't understand redemption.
Right.
If you don't understand redemption, you're not going to interpret that book. But I was thinking about being led by the Spirit of God and about Ezekiel's wheels and the meaning behind all those wheels and what they represent. And it says that with every face, with every four creatures that are going around like this as four, the four symbolizes every aspect that a man is in the earth. And the wings have something to do with heaven. And the wheels are beside all four of them.
Right.
There's only one set of wheels beside all four of them. And it said, according to this interpretation of this ray, and I believe that he had a divine interpreting, he said, as the wheels are spinning and making noise, he said it's the noise of the activity that is found within the wheel of that particular face. Mm-hmm. And so if it's a face of an ox and you see that wheel turning beside the face of the ox, it means a man's labor or employment. And this is what he said about that. Let me read it to you. I want you to catch us before we quit today, because we're going to go on this a little bit more, because we are living in a time period. We need to understand what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. He said, the activity of the ox is completely controlled by who or what it is yoked to. The employer determines your activity. Your time and energy is given over to him in exchange for your livelihood. The employer is the one who controls your activity, but as believers, we are not to be unequally yoked to unbelievers in such a way that the course of our employment would dishonor God. So even in your employment, you are to honor God with those who employ you. And now notice, he says the activity of the wheels. He says the wheels of activity are not meant to spin outside of my presence. My presence abides within the wheels of activity. It is only when my spirit lives and you remain in your activity that the wheels spin out of control and produce nothing. I am the cog that is to spin your wheels. I am the wheel within the wheel. When my spirit lifts, the wheel must lift with me. Even your doings must be in my presence, and not just your time of waiting on me. Nothing is hidden from his sight. The rim of each wheel, now get this, I'm going to show you something that's powerful. The rim of each wheel is full of eyes of him to whom we must give an account to the word. And he quotes Hebrews 4:13. You know what that means? It means, let's say, the ox, for an example, a man's labor. It literally means that as that wheel is spinning, it's full of eyes. And the wheel in within the wheel, he said, is full of eyes. And as long as that inner wheel is inside the bigger wheel, that means that the Spirit of God wants you to focus in that activity while you're presently there. And notice the eyes. Now, if you will, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And I'm going to show you something that's very interesting. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says this. We'll start at verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now watch verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. Now we're talking about creatures in Ezekiel's wheels. Now watch this. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him. The eyes of him. All things are laid bare and open so that he plainly has everything before his sight. Yes. The wheel, outer wheel and the inner wheel are full of eyes around the top brim of the wheel. Right. You know what that means? It means your activity has a way of seeing. Because the activity within your activity, which is the Spirit of God, has eyes also. Yes. That give you the ability to see your outer activity.
Yes. Yes.
That's why it says there with the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. And that's incorrect. It says open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account to the word. So everything that we need to function concerning being led by the Spirit of God It is in the Word.
Amen.
It's complete. And it's there for you.
Yes. Yes. Good.
Woo! That's enough to start another song service. Because you are complete in Him. You are His craftsmanship. That means His entire creativity went into placing as a son and daughter in His kingdom. That is good news, so that we're without an excuse. Now, I'm going to tell you something, what I'm talking about. So when He had Ezekiel Wheels interpreted by that young man, and I believe in the interpretation of it thoroughly because it matches the Word of God, I'm going to show you something that's very interesting. I'm going to tell you something that's very interesting in closing, because we're going to get on this one or two more Sundays. Are you ready? In the book of Revelations, you're in that 7-year period of tribulation. And when tribulation starts, it's because we're out of here.
Yep.
Once the church is out of here, guess what? Those four creatures, they don't have any meaning for us anymore.
That's right.
You want to know why? We dare.
Yep.
We're there.
Yes.
We don't have to be led by the Spirit anymore because we're there.
Yeah.
You got that? Well, when I was praying, I was reading that passage and trying to understand the Ezekiel wheels and everything. It finally, and I know it was God, it just dropped into me. He says, you'll notice those four creatures before the throne of God, just before the breaking of those seals. He says, what's missing? And I was reading it, and I didn't know what was missing. And the Lord said, the wheels are gone.
That's right.
You know why? He witnessed for our activity being led by the Spirit of God. But when we're there as the church, it's no longer predicated on being led by the Spirit. Because now the judgments of God begins.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So you have the ability to be led by the Spirit of God now. Why? Because you're here. When you're there, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about going to a grocery store there. You won't find no shooters if there's a grocery store. Glory. So this is what I want you to do. Take a look at how important it is to be led by the Spirit of God while you're here. Now I'm going to show you something that's powerful. When you're reading Romans chapter 8, go back to Romans chapter 8. Remember I told you about the two lives? One is Zoe, which means the life of God. But the other one, Zeo, means how you spend your existence while you're here. How many understand that? So, when he gets to Romans chapter 8, and he tells you something that's very interesting, and I never caught it before, but it always puzzled me for a long time. Notice verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal bodies through His Spirit who indwells you. Now, most of your translation says also give life to your mortal bodies. But that is not the right interpretation. It means will quicken your mortal bodies. The word quicken means to cause to live. To cause to live. It's saying if the Spirit of God is in you, He will see to it that your mortal body will be in a state of life.
Yes.
Your body will be in a state of life.
Yes.
I want you to catch this. Therefore, brethren, verse 12, We are debtors not to the flesh. To live according to the flesh. Guess what word he says there for live? It's zeo. He's referring to natural life. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live, it is zeo. According to the flesh, you are about to die. But if by the Spirit of you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And for every word there for live is zeo. And he's referring to, if you have the Spirit of God living in you, your life will be preserved to life and your mortal body be quickened to life, because there's a leading of the Spirit of God in you that will cause you not to die, but cause you to live. But if you go back to living out of your flesh, you will die.
Yep.
Case in point, I think I'll go to the center today. And here you are, a believer, going to a place where there's going to be a mass killing. Well, evidently, in all your Christianity, you did not have the ability to discern an inward check of what to do and what not to do. Do people actually have that leading? Absolutely. I've heard testimony after testimony of the people who were believers that morning when the towers came down, they didn't go to work. God is speaking. And God isn't speaking to our heads. He's given us an inward discernment. And even if we don't understand it, just do it. I can't believe you said that, John. And so when you're reading these verses, you've got to realize that the whole reason for you to get born again is so you're no longer under the domination of the outward man, but you're under the rule and reign of your inward man, and that is what will produce life in you. Yes. And God, you know something else God spoke to me? He shared this with me. I was shocked when he shared it with me just this morning when we were praise and worship. You know what he said? He said, conviction. Conviction, not condemnation, conviction is 100% the voice of being led by the Spirit of God.
Yes, amen.
Conviction?
Yep.
He said, when you have a conviction within your heart, it is my voice giving you a leading. And I thought about it. He said, the worst kind of debt that you can have is to come into Christ and live your Christianity out through your natural body. He says, you'll not fulfill your calling. Now, what happens if you don't? You still go to heaven. But you go there out of season and out of time. But you know what? That doesn't mess God up one bit. You know what he says? I think I'll keep this one. You put him back in the earth and he's bound to end up in sin and death. That means eternal separation. While I got him, I'm going to keep him. That's the love of God. That's the leading of God for our life. Tell me how important the Word of God is. Share one other thing. Did you know that when you enjoin yourself to a body and God moves upon that leadership's heart? Boy, when I saw this, it really bugged me more than ever. But God shared something with me about missing hearing messages that the Holy Spirit forms. There's a danger in that. And did you know that when you miss hearing the Holy Spirit speak or give a word or a move of the Holy Ghost or whatever, When the Holy Spirit arranges a message through not just me, but through anyone giving the message, if it's the Word of God, even though you're not present to hear it, you're still held accountable for it. Hello? Well, what do you mean? Well, if you didn't show up at church or show up where the Word of God was, or, you know, wherever it is that you would receive the Word of God, going to a convention, or and God speaks to you to go there, He has a word for you.
Yeah. Amen.
And if you're not present, you're still accountable for that word. And when you stand before Him, you will reap the reward of what you heard or didn't hear.
True.
Because God's love is so perfect over your life that He would see to it that the Word covers every aspect of what you need for your life. And if you abuse that, you're responsible for it.
Right.
Now, He did not say it determined whether you got in heaven or not. That's not what I'm talking about. You'll get there, but you'll get there as a pauper. I saw that vision when I was praying one day. Too many of my people enter into heaven as street people, paupers. And I don't like it. The Lord didn't come into our life so that we wouldn't have the Word, the worship, praise and worship, each other. We have each other in this building. We belong to each other because we are brothers and sisters in the Lord, whether you realize it or not. Stand up, everybody. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for the Word. Thank You so much for Your people. And as we now close out this service this morning, Father, I pray that if there's anybody here that has never said the sinner's prayer, has never really actually acknowledged the fact that salvation is very important for his life, then Holy Spirit, work in his heart to respond to salvation. If you're here and you've never been filled with the fullness of the Spirit, then you're missing out on a beautiful, beautiful operation of God where your inner man, your spirit, can communicate with Him apart from your natural understanding. Oh, how important that is for us. How important that is for us. And so if you would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it'll show up as you speak in tongues. You're going to have to defy whatever anybody taught you against them in order to receive it. For if you have a stronghold in your thinking, you won't receive. And if you've struggled with healing, physical healing, then God can give you a leading if you're confused about why you haven't received. So with that thought in mind, every person that would fit, feel free to come up here right now for prayer. Anyone? Feel free. Hallelujah. Are you guys ready to go home? Be careful, there might get a raindrop on your windshield. Father, we thank You for these wonderful people. And may they be blessed as they go their way today in Jesus' name. Amen. You're free to go.